Welcome back to the Below Average Joe's MMA show. Again, not a lot of news, not a lot of fight announcements, but we do have UFC Vegas 86 to recap on today's show, headlined by the third straight middleweight main event in a row for the UFC. This time, Jack Hermanson, the number 11 ranked 185 pounder in the world, defeats Joe Pyfer. We will discuss that fight and what could be next, alongside some of the other quick hitters and results from the remainder of the card. Let's hop right into the action right now. The Joker, Jack Hermanson, will remain in the middleweight rankings come Tuesday morning, defends his number 11 spot against the unranked but surging Joe Pyfer, getting it done over the course of 25 minutes and what ended up being the veteran expertise and experience paying off for the veteran Jack Hermanson. Let's talk about this fight, what went down, and what's going to happen next. The finishing prowess, the knockout power, the hype, the momentum of B. Joe Pyfer was not enough to get his first ranked victory in the UFC as he falls shy. He has his first loss in the UFC and his first loss on his record in general since August of 2020 when he lost on his first attempt on Dana White Contender Series. And that is because Jack Hermanson defended his spot in the rankings. He proved that you've got to really earn your spot in the 185-pound ranks. Jack the Joker Hermanson has been at the top of this game in a ranked fighter for quite some time now, has climbed as high as around that number 5, number 6 spot in this division. He is a legitimate talent that, again, as I said Friday, isn't great in one particular area, but is good and well-rounded in all aspects of his game. For example, I thought his best path to victory in this fight was to press forward, which he did do very well, but then utilize his grappling and clinch work to have more success. However, he found success in the striking department in this fight, and that is what got him the victory. This fight never took place on the mat. It was a stand-up fight for 25 minutes. Joe Pyfer looked good in round one, looked solid in round two, but toward the end, you could feel the tide begin to turn. Jack Hermanson began to settle in, began to understand the attacks that Joe Pyfer was throwing at him, got his timing down, implemented a very, very strong calf kick that remained prominent throughout the remainder of rounds 3, 4, and 5. And behind that calf kick, Hermanson was able to put together a game plan, or should I say adjust his game plan, like the veteran that he is. He outlasted Joe Pyfer. He was the fresher fighter for those latter 15 minutes and those 10 minutes of the championship rounds 4 and 5. I don't think this was some performance where you can just be like, oh, Joe Pyfer, you know, he got shut up, he got shut out, he'll never be able to get into the rankings. I didn't see it that way. It was a learning experience for someone at 27 years old, getting their biggest jump up in competition by far. He did not fight a bad fight. He stayed in the fight more competitively than I thought he would. Like, compared to how he looked at the end of round two, in round three, rounds 4 and 5, he did hang around. He did land some shots here and there. He did not utterly gas himself out where he had nothing left to offer. And so for that, I do credit him. I think he still has a relatively bright future ahead of him. You pair that with the story that is behind him, the love that Dana White shows him allows more eyes to be on a Joe Pyfer fight. I think he'll get another chance here in the not-so-long future to get his spot in the middleweight rankings, but it just wasn't now. His time wasn't now, and that is because Jack Hermanson, at the ripe age of 35, is still very much in the mix of that back half of the rankings, and after that performance last night, looked like a top 10 middleweight, in my opinion. You look at just how well-rounded he is, the way that he was able to adjust on the fly, implement new strategies to pull ahead in this fight. He has climbed high, and he's lost against someone that's been a champion in Sean Strickland. He's lost to Roman Dolidze, who we just saw compete last week. Marvin Vettori, Jared Cannonier. Three of those four names have either challenged for a title or been a champion in this middleweight division. So maybe that gives us a good idea of, yes, Jack Hermanson is very much still a threat. He can beat guys on the outside looking in. He can beat guys ranked 10 through 15, even some higher than number 10. But when he gets to that number 4, number 3, the top guys in the division, is that where he caps out? Is that where we may never see him take that next step and earn himself a title shot? I think after last night, there's still very much room for him to get a crack into those rankings with one or two more wins to earn a spot amongst the top five contenders. I think he can do that. I think he had a proper call out in the aftermath of this fight saying he wanted to fight Nassourdine Imavov. I'm all for it. They're on the same timeline. Imavov just fought last week. He was ranked number 11, moved into the number 8 spot after beating Dalidze over the course of a 25-minute decision. Jack Hermanson had a better performance, and really this was the best of the three main event stretch we had at middleweight, in my opinion. I thought this was a very, very solid fight from start to finish with not a lot of dull moments. There wasn't any lackluster action. They kind of just pressed a very solid pace from bell to bell. And so you pair that victory with the performance and him getting back on track, winning two of his last three fights, now looking to make it a win streak. And I think the next step is number 8 ranked Imavov. And should Jack get a victory there in what I'm sure will be an Apex Fight Night main event. Unfortunately, we're staying in the Apex quite a lot still in 2024. I think after that, he could be one win away. You know, maybe he fights a top 5 guy after that. Should he win there? Maybe he gets a crack. I said this on Friday that the division, you know, the belt is getting passed around like a hot potato right now. We've had 4 champions in the last 14 months. We don't really know the title picture right now. Maybe we get Izzy versus Drickus. I don't really know. Maybe we get a rematch between Sean Strickland and Drickus du Plessis. We have Robert Whittaker and Paulo Costa fighting at UFC 298 this upcoming weekend, which is another huge fight in the middleweight division. It'll be 4 straight events where we see top 15 fighters squaring off. I'll kind of try to have some stats prepared for that come Friday. The amount of ranked fighters we're seeing in a 4-week period is pretty astonishing and great for the division. A division that has seemed stale the past few years seems to be on course to have a very, very solid year with contenders earning their spots, with veterans getting wins, with prospects getting wins. It's a good mixture of everything at 185 pounds. And the most recent victor is Jack the Joker Hermanson. Now that we are done discussing the UFC Vegas 86 main event, let's talk about some quick hitters before we head on out of here today. We move down to the co-main event where the number 13 ranked Dan Ige got back in the win column in a big, big way. 50K Dan Ige got a huge knockout, one-punch victory over Andre Feely, 2 minutes and 43 seconds into the very first round. In a fight that I was expecting to be an absolute banger, turned out to be a one-sided nightmare for Feely. Dan Ige landed the one shot that we've seen him do a few times throughout his UFC career at this point. Gets a huge win, gets a post-fight bonus. His pregnant wife, 37 weeks pregnant, baby due it any day now. He gets the victory. That's the second time he's gotten a huge knockout while his wife has been pregnant. The other one was Gavin Tucker, which also took place in the UFC Apex. I absolutely love Dan Ige. I think you're crazy if you don't respect and love this guy. He is fighting at such an astonishing clip. By far the most active ranked featherweight over the past 5 years. It's not even close. I feel like he's, well, what did I say Friday? He had 4 years where he fought at least 3 times. I think he entered in 2018, and now in February 2024, I think he's up close to 20 UFC fights, which is just unbelievable, the calendar that he's putting together with his career. And he is just hungry. You can tell that he wants to earn his crack at greatness, climb these ranks. He's gotten to a very high point, but has faltered in his biggest moments. But I still believe in Dan Ige. I think he's dangerous. He can beat any fighter in this division when he is on his A game. And that's what I think makes it so fun to tune in and watch Dan Ige fight. What could be next for him? I think there's a few very fun options. Number one would be running back the fight that was originally supposed to take place on this card, and that is against the number 14 ranked undefeated Lerone Murphy. I think that would be an incredible matchup. if they can't get that one put together, if Lerone's injury or reasoning to pull out of this fight is a little bit more serious, maybe look at guys like Josh Emmett or Giga Chikadze. Both of those names were thrown around on the post-fight show by Alan Jobon and Anthony Smith, so I can't take all the credit there, but to be honest, those are both incredible matchups. Neither guy has fought Dan Ige before. Both are powerful strikers, but in different ways. Dan Ige and Josh Emmett are very similar stature, carry one-shot power, short, stocky, just strong guys for 145 pounds, and Giga is the long-rangey kickboxer. I think those are all great matchups, and what could be next for Dan Ige. RoboCop Gregory Rodriguez is, I think, has the record with 5 knockouts since 2020, the most of any middleweight in the division, as he gets a finish over the ultra-durable Brad Tavares. We've seen him in so many tough fights not get finished. Go look at the fight with current champion Dricus du Plessis, and you'll get just how durable Tavares is. And Gregory Rodriguez wasted, well, I shouldn't say he wasted no time. It happened in the third round. It didn't come easy, but he got a finish 55 seconds into the final 5-minute period of this fight. He's won 4 of his last 5 bouts, and I think a top 15 opponent has to be next for this absolute dog middleweight that we have. 31 years old, 15-5 record. In fun fights every single time he goes into that octagon, win or lose. And when he puts it all together, he's a very dangerous guy that could crack into those top 10 rankings, I think, relatively easily in the middleweight division. We're talking about someone who's been a world champion jiu-jitsu player, but he's known in the UFC for his insane knockouts and the fights that he puts on. I like what I'm seeing from RoboCop. Rodolfo Vieira does what he does best and got a submission in the first round over Armin Petrosian. I believe 9 of his 10 wins of his career by sub. He has a 100% finish rate. He seems one-dimensional, but it hasn't really mattered much because he's got more wins than losses in the UFC. If he gets you down to his element, you are in trouble, and Armin Petrosian learned the hard way. The debuting Carlos Prades got a one-punch knockout over Trevin Giles in a fight that he was losing. Trevin Giles, looking good, looked like he had turned back the clock a little bit, was showing up, the debutant from the Contender Series last year in Carlos. One of the biggest victories of the Dana White Contender Series, as a matter of fact, in 2023, belonged to Carlos Prades, and it didn't go great for him here against Giles, but it didn't matter because he landed the one shot that ended it all. He starts his UFC tenure with a bonus and a one-punch knockout. And then we had 2 other knockouts at the early part of the prelims. Bogdan Guskov, Anthony Smith's twin brother. Not literally, but you got to see the picture or video of these guys. They're the exact same person. Guskov knocked out Zach Pauga in the first round. Very brutal. It was a one-shot punch there. Very dangerous guy that has a very high finishing clip. He's always going to be in exciting fights during his UFC career. And Haider Amil made good on his debut, a Contender Series alum from last season as well. He became the first person to ever finish Fernie Garcia. Garcia did step up on short notice, so credit to him. It was an incredible fight. It literally only lasted 7 minutes and 12 seconds total, but it was a blast. Haider Amil, though, his pace, his pressure, his power, the guy looked like a legit stud at 145 pounds. And that's it for today's show. Again, no news, no fight announcements, just strictly fights. And that's okay with me as we recapped UFC Vegas 86, headlined by Jack Hermanson and Joe Pyfer. The third straight middleweight main event comes to a close with Jack Hermanson getting the victory. Give me all your thoughts on that fight and all of the other big performances from the card. And I'll catch you on Friday for our preview show, UFC 298, Volkanovski versus Topuria.